You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. My thanks to Mike Wilson for coming on. He from the Yellow Ribbon Fund and Yellow Ribbon Fund, Semper Fi Fund. Those people do awesome work. I know Gunners cross paths with them, trying to, you know, get families to be able to stay with their husband, brother, whatever that have been wounded, and that stay is going to be extended, and financially it extends them. How do you do it? And you have these angelic organizations that step in and pay bills. It's awesome. It's awesome. So, Mike, good morning. You're no stranger to the Semper Fi Fund and the generosity of some of these organizations.
Yeah, I'm truly behind Semper Fi Fund 100%. I mean, they have helped countless Marines that I know. You know, they're always there. Yeah, and that's the way. It's everybody that asks me where they want to donate money to, it's the first place I tell them.
You know, and these organizations like Yellow Ribbon, like Semper Fi, you know, Mike, we just had an occasion where, Mike, what, do you remember the deal where somebody that you bumped into was having problems getting a prosthetic leg either repaired or adjusted, and we called Nielsen. You know, he went back to Walter Reed, right, to get it fixed?
Yeah, they got it taken care of, yeah.
Right, and if you can't afford, you know, if you call the caseworkers back at either Bethesda or Walter Reed and say, hey, I can't afford to put myself up in a hotel, they say, well, let me put you in touch with Semper Fi Fund or Yellow Ribbon Fund. And
no.
And they're
supposed to be on per diem and
even
VA though.
Oh, all right.
So that's why I get really confused, because
really,
you know,
so the VA pays for the flight and all of it.
Holy. If it's a prosthetic, yeah, sure, wow. Like that. If they can't, yes, I know that. Yes, I've been told yes. Now, and here's my problem though. I've been told yes. I've heard VA people tell me, oh, no, that's covered. But then I hear these stories about how I can't get this or I couldn't do this and they wouldn't pay for, you know, a room. They're supposed to put, like, if for instance, if I had an appointment and they were in a set appointment and there's going to be, like, in San Antonio, it's, you know, 4 hours away. They don't expect me to drive down there. You know, if it's going to be a couple days, every day to drive down there, they would put you up. That's what I've been told. But I run into it every once in a while. People say, no, no, it's not true. You got it. And I'm like, whoa. So I've asked, you know, and then you get the occasional, when I confronted people that, VA people, they're like, oh, that's kind of a rare case. And that's kind of a, you know, a one thing, you know, maybe a personality thing down the road or whatever. We've never heard of that here. I'm like, okay, someone here is bullshitting me. Because, you know, why would someone want to, you know, drive 3 hours one way, 3 hours back, 2 days in a row?
Right. No, but, you know, I get their point that might be some. Hey, you and I have talked about this. If you bump into a jackass, I don't care, it could be at your battalion aid station or could be in, you know, in transition assistance. I mean, it's not pleasant. Could be at the VA. And
yeah, I know they pay for your mile. They pay for gas. Well, that, like whatever the 30 cents to the mile or something like that. I know they do that.
I need to get a caseworker on, and we need to talk. We need to learn about that, because I think you're right with prosthetics. Because there's no, I mean, where do you go to get it tuned up? You know.
Yeah, I mean, you got it's, now I do know. Okay, so there's like some of these prosthetics that are like super ultra high speed,
yeah,
that are outside the VA,
yeah,
that you know, like, let's say prosthetic LCC, they're, you know, they donated this high-tech arm and hand to this kid, you know, the problem with that, sometimes when they do this, it doesn't come with a maintenance tail. And the VA can't, the VA doesn't pick it up either. Because they didn't, they're not the ones that, you know, organize this. They're not the ones that put this together. So they stay out of it. And so the donation or the goodwill gesture that was done, that was the one time. And then now as it wears out, it does this, needs repairs, you know, it needs a specialized thing. Who's paying for that? Right? That's where some of the problems comes in too. So, but then again, I've been told that it doesn't matter, Mike. If it's a prosthetic, it's a prosthetic, it's a prosthetic. The VA covers it. And I'm like, well, what if it's donated by, it doesn't matter. They cover it. And then I hear these stories like, no. If it was like a private organization that donated this high speed carbon fiber running leg that, you know, or swimming leg or hunting leg or something, it's not covered anymore by the VA, you know. So yeah, you're right. You need to get somebody on here to clarify a lot of that. Because there are a lot of, you know, if young Marines that have this problem are running to the first firewall, and it's some person who doesn't know what the hell they're talking about, and they say, you know, I need to make an appointment to get my prosthetic service. Can you read the serial number off to me? Blah, 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 blah. Well, it's not a VA thing. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Quick. If they're running into that, you know, and it's simply, hey, that educator needs to be re-educated, person needs to be re-educated, then, yeah.
Got it. You have a little bit of Marine Corps history
you fought me on.
I missed a word. I didn't see Marine in there.
Oh, that would be, you know. Oh yeah.
I know. Reading comprehension. Reading comprehension skills. Yeah. Right. I went back and I looked at the text too. Did he put Marine in there? And I look and I'm like, damn it, there it is.
He did. Damn it. He won again.
He did it. What do you mean again? What do you mean you never? Stop. Just stop it.
See? This is. Then you text me the thing of a hateful text, too. This is why everybody hates you. You know why? Because I'm right. And I get my shit together.
No, you're right about half the time, but you act like you're right
half
all
the time.
Yeah, you act like you're right all the time, and that's why everybody hates you.
I'm right 100% 60% of the time.
that is so, okay. So give everybody your piece of history today.
That I couldn't believe. I had to.
Yeah,
okay. So
no kidding.
The first Black U.S. Marine awarded the Medal of Honor was, it took place 51 years ago yesterday, actually, February 28th in Vietnam. 1968, part of the 1st Marine Division, PFC Anderson. And, you know, and I've seen, and I have to do some research, because I've seen his Medal of Honor citation before. And, you know, he grabbed a grenade and pulled it into him to save his buddies. You know, and it just, it goes to, I mean, it's crazy, because... And then Mac, of course, like 1968, hogwash. So he said,
I thought it meant one-stop shop,
Wikipedia, because Wikipedia is like.
Well, they have tables now of African American Medal of Honor winners, and they go back to 1863, 1864.
Yeah, but they're all Army.
That's true. I didn't see the word Marine, and I'm thinking, you know what I'm thinking when I'm looking at that list, too? It's a pretty extensive list. I'm thinking, what a dumbass, man. There's like 7 in World War II, 2 in the Korean War. I'm like, he's so stupid. He's probably like still stoned on his medication. Nothing worse than somebody that's stoned, taking their phone out, and just communicating with everybody like they're full of brown. And then on this case, he happened to be, it's one, you know, again, under the broad heading of the sun shines on a dog's ass every once in a while. Gunner was right.
Unless that dog is in Alaska.
No, he's not in Alaska, okay? He's not in Alaska.
Dog's ass is being shown by the sun every day, every minute of the day.
Yeah, that ain't happening. That is not happening. That is not happening.
Yeah. But no, it's crazy. 1968, the first U.S. Marine, black U.S. Marine awarded the Medal of Honor. What?
Dark green Marine, as we used to call them. I don't think they use that term anymore, but that's
right.
When we were in the Marine Corps, we said, you know what? I thought he was. Do you remember we were talking about the youngest Marine killed in Vietnam?
Yeah.
He was 15 years old, named Dan Bullock. And yeah, if you can imagine from that, from Goldsboro, North Carolina, was with 2-5, as a matter of fact.
Right.
And I thought, well, is that the same guy?
No.
When he was 14 years old, he altered the date on his birth certificate to show he was born in 1949. He processed through the recruiting station and enlisted in the Marine Corps on September 18th, 1968, as a member of Platoon 3039 at Parris Island. At first, he struggled to make it through. He was able to do so with the help of fellow recruits. Graduated from boot camp on December 10th, 1968. Arrived in Vietnam on May 18th, and he was killed less than a month later.
At 15
years old. Part of Fox Company.
That's a devil dog right there, man.
That is a devil dog. Part of Fox Company 2-5, stationed at the Anhui Combat Base in the Quang Nam province, was killed instantly by small arms fire on June 7th during a North Vietnamese Army night attack while making an ammunition run to resupply his beleaguered unit. He was 15 years old.
Crazy shit.
After he was interred, his gravesite did not have a marker. One was finally provided in 2000. What kind of shit is that?
Don't tell me the Marine Corps turned its back on this kid.
No, I looked up the footnote. The footnote.
Because,
says,
man, if that, I'm calling the Commandant today and having that done, redone. That is some BS right there, boy.
Yeah, this is an article out of the Philadelphia Inquirer. And it wants to charge me for looking at it. But the part that I can see, the headline says this.
Yeah.
A Marine too young to drive, let alone die, PFC Dan Bullock, was only 15 when he was killed in Vietnam. A friend who lives in Mount Laurel is pushing to have his sacrifice recognized. And that's on philly.com. And it's a 3-page article. And...
Well, that's kind of disturbing to me, though. His marker, his grave marker was blank?
Yeah, that's what this said.
I mean, so he died a U.S. Marine. He, you know, served his country.
Right.
Regardless of not, okay, let's take, he lied about his age. All right. You're going to tell me that, you know, no 15-year-old ever died for the red, white, and blue?
Oh, shit. Happened all the time in World War II and in Korea.
And the Revolutionary War,
yeah,
and the Civil War. I mean, in our whole history. You know, did he lie about his age getting into the Marine Corps? Sure. What are you going to do? NJPM? Bust him down? He's, what, as a private? Should I promote that kid? That takes some balls. You go to boot camp when you're freaking 15?
He went when he was 15. He went when he was 14.
That's crazy shit, man.
What were you doing when you were 14? Like, you're still eating your boogers for the most part. This is from his sister. My brother didn't like New York, Dan's sister Gloria Bullock Burroughs said in an interview. He wanted to get an education to make something of himself, and he saw the Marines as a way to get there. Bullock viewed his service as an opportunity to improve his life and had plans for continuous education after Vietnam. He's a hero, said Franklin MacArthur, who launched a campaign to win special recognition for his Marine Corps brother. He lied about his age to defend his country. He's the most patriotic young man. He took his secret to his grave to fight for an ideology when you had grown men fleeing to Canada. MacArthur has petitioned Congress, the Commandant of the Marine Corps, and the President to award a posthumous Congressional Medal of Honor to PFC Dan Bullock. Yeah, that's a bit much.
No. That's a little bit.
History has
crazy.
Not completely forgotten the sacrifice of PFC Bullock. In 2003, the New York City Council renamed a section of Lee Avenue where Bullock grew up in Brooklyn in his honor. His name appears on the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C. of the Americans who died in Vietnam. 39,996 were just 22 or younger. 8,283 were just 19 years old. Dan Bullock is buried in his birthplace of Goldsboro, North Carolina. To our nation's eternal shame, he was buried without a headstone until one was finally donated by a talk show host. Holy shit. Sally Jesse Raphael in the year 2000.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Well, there you go. She just, her stock just went up about 1,000,000 points.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Went up with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The, all right, what's going on? What are we going to talk about today?
Okay. So I watched the ending of the Waco thing.
I haven't watched
Boy, that. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
It didn't do the U.S. government, nor the FBI, any favors in this show. This was a very strongly one point, one way, their side, the Branch Davidians, painted as this peaceful organization that was bullied by the U.S. government and murdered.
Ooh, murdered.
That's, you walk away from there like, man, this was a setup from the get-go. They had no intention of letting these people get out alive.
Hmm.
That was the kind of the whole, you know, take on that. The crazy crap of it is, well, like I said, one of our good buddies here, lives here in Granbury, was part of the FBI HRT hostage rescue team during that siege on Waco.
And? Do you know him?
And he has a different point of view.
Oh, what did he say?
And the first thing he called me this morning is like, hey, I know you watched that, so did I. It's bullshit. So he was calling me just as we were talking, and I'm going to call him afterwards and just, you know, we usually give him a hard time. hey, did you guys use gasoline or kerosene? And he's like, shut up. I'm just wondering, you know, kerosene.
Well, what's his take, Mike? Because I've never heard an FBI agent talk about it in terms of what happened. Because that, I mean, that was a straight up shit show.
Well, okay. So first of all, the FBI didn't do this. Was the ATF shit show? They started this, and yes, the ATF handled this just like Ruby Ridge, not in a good way. Yeah. So the FBI had to come in and take over and clean this shit up. And so the FBI gets this, inherits this, and all they get really at first is, you know, what is it, 5 ATF agents were killed. And at this point, you know, so you go, well, you know, 3 Branch Davidians were killed. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, the law enforcement, but that's where it kind of like gets a little muddy, and they don't really show or who was at fault. They concluded at the end that the Branch Davidians fired first, you know.
When the Federales come, you put your hands up in the air and you comply, right?
Yeah, but I have some problems because it was a whole issue of the part I have a hard time with, Mac, is they didn't have to do the raid in the first place. They could have just arrested the guy. They could have just walked up, grabbed him by the shoulder, and slapped him some handcuffs and said, come with me.
I don't understand. I thought that's what they were trying to do when they got blasted.
No. they didn't do anything like that. They just planned the raid. So next thing you know, 15 ATF agents with guns in their hands show up at your front door.
Yeah, but did they have to do that because of the? They knew that there was a lot of weapons in that compound.
No, they could have busted them at any time. That's the point. He left the house.
They didn't have
he
to.
He was
go
out
to,
of the house.
They didn't have
three
to go to the compound.
A day. They didn't have to go to the compound.
Why didn't? So why
they arrested them?
Why'd they go to the compound?
Because they were just coming off of Ruby Ridge and they needed something. Because they kept going right.
Oh, now you're gonna charter the black helicopter for me.
Yeah. So we're on the black helicopter.
Oh, shit.
You didn't realize.
I realized that's where we were. That's where we
You didn't realize that?
We were going black helicopter. This is the helicopter that they used in the Osama bin Laden raid that nobody had ever seen before. Right?
We're on the black helicopter right now.
Let me just tell you, that morning, right, I remember going to work at like, I don't know, I used to go to work at like 4:45 or something like that, and I remember walking into our COC, and there was like more activity, kind of more of a buzz. Normally it's really quiet, and I looked at Chris Robinson, who's a police officer in Tulsa, and I said, what's going on? He said, the president's going to make a statement here, and in the next 45 minutes, and I think Osama bin Laden's been killed in Pakistan. What? Holy shit. So then as the story kind of the president comes on, he makes the announcement. So we were like, what's going to happen around here today? Are they going to get pissed? And the Afghans were like, we don't care about him. We want Mullah Omar's head on the stick. That's our guy. You guys are like pissed at bin Laden. We don't care about him. So nothing happened, and during the course of the day, pictures started coming out from Pakistan, there was a picture of the helicopter, of the fantail of the helicopter.
The tail section.
Yeah, and we looked at that, and we're like, what is that? So, you know, the air officer sat, like, from me, stick your hand out, stick your arm out as far as you can. That's how far the air officer sat from me, right in front of me. So, you know, I'm sitting there with two really smart ones, Rudy and Metro, and I said, hey, have you seen this? And I turn my screen, and they're looking, and they look like two monkeys looking at a blender. And these guys are like high clearance, smart dudes, right? And they're looking at it, and they're like, "Holy shit, what is that?" And you could see the material
they didn't do that, did they?
Oh my god, you should have seen it, Mike. They were like, "What's that? I've never seen that, you know? And look at the...
You know what I said when they showed that to me? I said, that's radar absorbing material.
I saw that in boot...
Stealth helicopter.
I saw that in boot camp.
You boob. Yeah, you boobs.
They were like...
That's the first thing I said. I remember when they tried to play stump and chump with me on that one. They're like, Gunner, have you ever seen this? They showed me that test thing. I said, look at it. Mike. Looks like radar absorbing material on a helicopter.
Well, no shit, but the question is, had you ever seen it before? The answer to that was no.
No.
Right.
I've never seen it, but I know what it looks like.
Because you read Popular Mechanics. And let me just tell you.
No, because remember I told you the story when I was on JTF-6, they let us go into the hangar by accident of the F-17 stealth fighter before they released it to the public.
No, I never heard that story.
Oh. Yeah, and then they realized, oh shit, we just went to a Marine in a hangar with a top secret freaking fighter jet. And then they came out, you know, because of course us Marines were like, what the hell is this? Shit, if they would have left us for 30 more minutes, we'd try to fly it.
Or eat it.
Or eat it or something.
Or set it on fire.
You can't leave Marines alone with something.
Hey,
taking it apart.
What's that? We've never seen anything like this before. How do you get it back together? So these two and Metro, he's like a Popular Mechanics reading.
Oh, he's Popular Science or whatever it's called.
Yeah, he wants to have a helmet with a laser beam on it and go up in a jetpack.
Right.
You know, he's that guy. He's looking at it. And he, like, starts drooling, and I'm like, oh, shit, man, what's going on? And so, yeah, it was pretty pretty wild that morning, seeing that. So anyway,
the monkeys with the blender. That's good. That is those guys every once in a while.
Yeah, and that's the look they. So I show them my screen, and they both look at it like, and turn their heads.
Heads tilting.
Oh,
they got
yeah.
The little O in their face. Their mouth's making the O sound.
Look, not even joking. That's exactly what they both did, because they had neither one of them ever seen anything like it. That's a helicopter? Oh, shit. Yeah, let me just tell you, Michael corroborate this. The truly impressive piece of that whole raid was not going in and killing Bin Laden, because that was the easy part. They flew this shit into Pakistan 120 miles, right?
Under the radar of the Pakistan Air Force.
Yeah, without being detected. Pakistan is a nuclear nation, right? Yeah. That's the feat. Okay, killing him,
you know,
that was easy.
You know who took notes on that?
Who?
Israel.
Yeah, no shit. That's the kind of shit they do.
Yeah.
That's the kind of shit they do. Yeah. And, like, wait a minute, they just did. And so I remember looking, like, when the president, you know, he did his little statement, and we wrote that. So you're sitting in your COC watching it. And so it's like, hey, pull up whatever city, you know, whatever city it was in, starts with an A.
Right.
Right? Where is that in? Where is that in Pakistan? Yeah, where is that in Pakistan? And you're looking for it, and you're like, holy shit, how far is that from the border? That's,
yeah, it was pretty far. It was a good ride.
120 miles. We went in there, into another sovereign country, whacked them and left, and...
And left a broken helicopter.
Left a broken helicopter, and the Chinese and Russians had that material in Beijing and Moscow before midnight.
Yeah, and we even had the gall of slapping a UPS sticker on the side of it, like they were going to ship it for us for free after we left it.
Here you go.
Hey,
here you go.
We left something there, and we got a sticker. Just ship it to us. We have an account. They were like, "Yeah, right."
Yeah, just when you think, like, you know, pilots are really, like, shit hot and all that, right? Slam it into a wall going in to get Bin Laden. Nice work, boys. Yeah. Nice work. All right, so anyway, where were we?
I don't know. We got sidetracked again.
What were we talking
about? We were
talking
about monkeys and blenders.
Yeah,
monkeys,
but that was me. We were talking about Waco, and then what a shit show it was. And why?
Why did they have to do that? They did.
Right.
You know, it was a guns violation that the ATF got on them. The UPS driver noticed that they were getting packages, and at one point, there were like grenade bodies or something like that that he had ordered.
Right.
They said grenades, but there's no way in hell even UPS will ship explosives through the mail.
Really? Okay. Not even if you have it unmarked from Korea?
How does he think it gets here?
But I mean,
is it unmarked when it comes through shipping and the
Yeah, it's unmarked. It's a box from Korea. The Koreans know that they're not going to slap a.
It says fragile, don't open.
Yeah, it says Christmas gift. Please be gentle. Yeah, they don't mark it. It's
Girl
like,
Scout cookies.
It's
not X-ray.
It's like. Yeah, we're going to stop people from buying bump stocks out of Malaysia. How? Guy puts it in a box and sends it to the United States. How do you stop it? So, anyway, I don't understand that. Where what about Hope Hicks leaving the White House? I think it's kind of weird that Mike,
I didn't know who Hope Hicks was until this whole story broke.
You didn't?
No, when I saw her on the news, that first thing I thought was, oh, man, because the sound was off. I'm like, Donald Trump nailed this chick. He's in trouble again.
It's finally.
I'm kind of rude.
It's finally over.
Yeah, the pain's going to stop. No, I don't really know enough about it. I really didn't pay attention. She's a good-looking lady, though, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, model. And, here's what I don't. Here's kind of what I don't understand. He's, how old, 72?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you, I don't know, like, the guys I know that have been senior, I mean, like she could be a secretary, but a close advisor and all that. It's like, I don't see that. I don't understand that.
You didn't see that? Take a good picture. Take a good look at her face again and her body.
That's it.
Is that crazy?
Is that what you're telling me? Love Hope and love having Hope around here. She does great work.
Yeah, she's so intelligent.
Yeah, and she's really, really attractive. And,
she's not bad,
you know,
not bad on the eyes either.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know what? Again, that's extremely sexist.
Don't do this.
That's an extremely sexist thing to say.
Okay.
Oh, so you're just going with it's a sexist world that we live in?
Yeah, I mean, look at the world we live in. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, here's the other thing.
Billionaire,
okay. Yeah,
80 years old, and how old do you think his wife is? Right.
Oh, his wife? If you're a billionaire and you're 80?
Yeah. How old do you think your wife is?
40.
Yeah, 30. I would have said 35.
Okay, 40.
What do you think your profession was?
Model.
Okay, yeah. Supermodel.
Yeah, supermodel. Okay, so you're telling me there's a trend here?
Well, it just doesn't matter. I mean, at that point, you know, power.
Yeah.
Power, is corrupts absolute. You know, so in every way.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't. And here's the other thing: when you deal with complex issues, you know, people that are young, they don't. There's so much that goes into that learning curve, and I just again, I'll just relate my time in Iraq, working for General Mattis, General Kelly, and Colonel Dufford. The issues that we dealt with on a daily basis, hell, the issues that Mike dealt with on a daily basis, and that was just one piece of it, are as complex as you can get. There's cultural issues, there's military issues, there's intelligence.
Personality issues.
Yeah, there are civilian issues in terms of the culture and the civilian population, and you're trying to do good stuff and do the right thing. Good luck. All right, now add another 49 issues to that, and that's your portfolio as the commanding general of the 1st Marine Division in Al Anbar. And so somebody shows up and they're 25, 26 years old. What did they add to that?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing.
They're taking notes, right? They're taking notes. And so I was kind of a head scratcher. Like, how does somebody so young with virtually no experience get to that position to be the White House Director of Communications at the age of 28, 29? Yeah, so.
Hello.
I will tell you this. General Mattis liked on his staff, he liked pre-command selected lieutenant colonels. That means they hadn't had command yet, so they were still angry.
They're hungry, as he said it.
Right. And when he wanted something done, he'd tell them. And let me tell you, he did not have to say frog to get them to jump. They jumped. As opposed to having the billets called for.
Command colonels.
Yeah, colonels. Full bird colonels, O6s, who would look at him and say, yeah, you know, I don't see it that way. And it was really different when Jerry Durant showed up to run the Iraqi Security Force piece of what we were doing, because it was a different meeting, because they were so much more experienced as opposed to younger guys who would just say, yes, sir, and go off and do it. And so, it made me think when I saw her age and by all accounts, she's done, people say very good things about her, was not a woman who sought the spotlight, which is atypical for one, a model, and two, anybody working in the White House. And yet she did not seek it. She stayed in the background, did her job as communications director, blah, 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 blah. But it just, I can imagine General Kelly in his position going, man, if I had somebody that's done this for 30 years, 25 or 30 years, there'd be a whole series of things that wouldn't be happening here. Because I don't care how smart she is, that is not the easiest place to go to work, and you need somebody. I think it would certainly help if you had somebody that knew the lay of the land, somebody who had run this race a few times before, who was savvy to smooth out, you know, the bumps. And so you can imagine what a shit show the White House was when they started. Not only everybody's a novice, you know, the whole drain the swamp thing means, you know, sometimes you need a swamp creature or two to help make it go. But that's just me. I could be wrong, but I'm not. But good luck to her. By all accounts, she handled the, you know, the pressure very well, and she's going to retire on active duty at the age of 29. Go to work as a talking head for Fox News at some point, or for some major corporation, and contribute and live a pretty good life. Hope Hicks.
All right.
Well done. Well done. All right, what about guns? Raising the age limit. Hey, here's what I don't like about, I can't buy a pistol until I'm 21. So I'm a woman, and I went out with some whack job, and he doesn't take no for an answer, and he's threatened me. I have a restraining order. Do the cops ever get there in time to save him? No. I can't buy a pistol to defend myself if I'm a female and 19 years old and I've been threatened. And the answer to that is no, I can't. I don't like that.
I get this. I know it, the argument. I heard it.
You do?
With Dana was talking about it. I listened to some of her stuff.
Who's Dana?
The NRA spokeswoman.
Oh, that girl.
The other model that ended up as an NRA spokesman.
They're everywhere.
They're in the weather. Yeah. They're all weather girls now. Yeah.
Oh, they're on every
traffic girls.
On every news channel.
Yeah. So I heard this, you know, like, what about me? I'm 20 years old. I live away from home, and how do I protect myself? You know, you're right. In the bottom line is the law in this case, because we're using hindsight now,
right,
would have stopped this kid from buying that AR on his 18th birthday.
Correct.
It wouldn't have stopped him from buying it and waiting 3 years and buying it until he's 21, and then putting off Parkland shooting until 3 more years from now.
Right. But by that time he's aged out of that phase of his life. I'll play devil's advocate
maybe.
With you. What do you mean maybe?
Maybe. What do you mean?
Nobody
telling me that the older you get, the less crazy you get.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what I'm telling you. High school shooters.
Okay. Yeah.
High school shooters are high school students.
For right now.
Yeah.
And again, you're using the hindsight. You're using hindsight as your primary lens, right?
No, I'm saying that statistics show us that that high school shooters are high school students. How old was the kid at Sandy Hook? Do you know?
He was like a junior high kid. He wasn't even able to own a gun. He used his mom's gun.
And then Columbine, those guys were what, 17?
Those guys were high school students there, but they used a shotgun and pistols, right?
Right. Okay,
So this whole argument.
No, I'm sorry. Adam Lanza was 20 years old.
He's out of high school.
Yeah.
So he's what I'm talking about. He's now, and what I'm talking about is they get older, they don't get better. They stay the same.
Okay, just an update. I called over at Colleen's High School.
Yeah.
So I go on the website, and and I read his bio. He's a retired Marine officer. The principal. He's a retired Marine officer. I'm like, all right.
What school does she go to?
I'm not going to say it.
I'll say my daughter, he went to San Clemente, and he was a retired Marine officer as well.
Yeah, this is up here in Orange County, Costa Mesa area. So he, so I call him up. And I introduce myself, leave a message. He calls me back. How many community resources officers do you think there is in this school district with 38 schools?
Six.
Four.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's three other security people, but they're all unarmed. What do you do? So honestly, the issue for school districts around the country is, where do we find the money to harden our schools and to pay, if we want armed teachers, and pay people to be there, multiple people to be on campus for every one of these schools? Where do we find that money? And that's what school boards around the nation are going to wrestle with.
You know where you find it? You find it in the administrator's paycheck. Get rid of some of those idiots.
Ooh, yeah, you could take one of those salaries, offer somebody, right?
You could
fold two into one. And again, as we talk about, you hire retired people, you're not going to have to, they don't want the benefits. They just want the paycheck. No benefits, just a paycheck. We're going to pay you as a 1099. We're going to pay you cash. Here you go. That's what we're looking for.
But going back, what you're talking about is the law, making it 21, still does not prevent the 20-year-old East L.A. gang member from buying a gun.
No,
because he doesn't do it that way.
Right. You're right.
It doesn't stop crime. It's going to stop slow them down, because we don't know if it's going to stop them. In that case, like you said, Adam Lanz was 20. All right? So in worst cases, he's going to steal one, or he's going to wait. If he waited this long, he's going to wait three more frickin' years. The law doesn't really fix anything. What I like what Trump is talking about is the other little things, like mandatory background checks, even at gun shows.
Explain that, Mike.
So you go to a gun show and you buy a gun. You walk in and you see a guy and he's got a table, a folding card table, and he's got red tablecloth over it, and he's got nine guns on there. And you go, I like that one. And he goes, okay, that's $400. And you give him four $100 bills, he hands you the pistol and you walk off. And that's it.
How does that happen, right? It's a private sale, right?
It's a private sale. You know? I tell everybody,
every
private sale I've ever done, I've always done a gun transfer through the ATF.
Okay, so what does that mean?
And they look at me like, why? Well, you know, you don't have to do this. I know. And I'm paying for it. Don't worry about it. I'll pay you whatever the transfer fee is. But two things. One, I want to make sure that you're on the list that you can okay. And two, I want you to have the responsibility that you have the gun. I've never had anybody go, no, I don't want any part of this. Because the people I deal with are law-abiding citizens. The person that goes, wait a second, I can't buy this gun through the ATF. Ding, 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 bells, 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 whistle, whistle, whistle. Don't sell them the damn gun.
Okay, hold on. So when you do the transfer through the ATF, they'll check that person's eligibility to own the gun, yes?
Yeah. It goes through the same computer. Yeah, it's just like buying a gun. It's the, the National Criminal Service or check or whatever it's called.
NCIS, right? I hear that and I'm like, what?
Yeah. National Criminal Instant something. Anyway. But yeah, it's a, you fill out the background and it goes through a system that supposedly pulls from other systems. Now, here's the other problem, though, Mac, is, again, this whole thing is a state responsibility. There are states that are not doing the due justice or due diligence of putting the proper information into the system to prevent John Doe from buying the gun. Because John Doe can't have a gun. And there's still HIPAA laws that prevent, you know, mental health professionals from disclosing this information. This guy is certifiably crazy. He should never own a gun. Are you willing to put that in the computer? No, that's a violation of his civil rights.
Right.
And then the other thing, too, is, you know, and more of this coming out, and I'm glad, man, Broward County is taking a beating.
Well, they should, man. Because, Mike, did you see the social worker report saying that he's acting out, he's not a threat to himself or the community?
Right.
Nice. Well done.
Or the Broward County Sheriff saying we could not apprehend this. Wait a second. Putting something on social media and saying I'm going to kill people and going to draw blood, that's a crime, boys and girls. You're communicating threat, you know, and I'm sure we get a direct prosecution, the prosecutors in there, you could get this kid and at least roll him up. And then, like you said, roll him up and then do a check and go, wait a second, he's got a gun too?
Yeah.
But to sit there and keep doing this with your hands and going, it's not my problem. This is the NRA. That's what he's blamed, the NRA. Wait a second. I mean, it's the problem of a group of people that are responsible gun owners. It's their problem? How so? It's their problem. You know, and again, I hate this perverse thing that the NRA keeps getting beat up on is, you know, the Second Amendment wasn't about hunting. And it wasn't.
Right.
It was about, you know, well-regulated militia. It was about gun ownership. It was about me and you owning guns to prevent Big Brother from doing things to us that was unconstitutional. Once you remove the guns from the inhabitants of your country, you own them. I mean, you can look off through whole history. Every country that removed guns from its citizens, it basically could do whatever it wanted at that point. No opposition. Can't vote you out of office. That doesn't work anymore. You know, it was always guns was the leverage. And people will even make the argument, well, we're a civilized society. Okay. So were they. You know, so it's a really slippery slope. But what I do like is, again, the president's got people talking, man. And
so,
hopefully out of all this,
okay, so the background check, you would support?
I would definitely support background checks for private sales.
Okay, how about moving the age to 21?
Sure, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I got an email from Ohio man, and he's more of a out of my cold dead hand, guy. Here's what he says. He wrote this a little bit ago. I am a cold, dead hands kind of guy. However, I'm good with raising the age to 21 for the purpose of semi-auto, quote-unquote, assault rifles. This generation of kids has been fed drugs for ADD, ADHD, and whatever else the medical community has decided to prescribe drugs for. In our youth, I don't believe we have a handle on the long-term effects of these drugs. I think our young men and women should get a couple of years dealing with the stresses of adulthood before they can walk out of a gun store with an AR, AK, etc. Yes, some determined individuals will still be able to obtain weapons, but at least it will be more difficult. I'm not sure that this little freak in Florida would have had the street knowledge to be able to do that. This policy might also cut down on the straw purchase on the stray purchase opportunities. Is a straw purchase opportunity?
Straw. Yeah.
Straw. What does that mean?
That's the same thing we're just talking about.
Okay. Semi-auto, quote, assault rifles are more lethal and Lethal overall and with ownership.
Oh God!
Comes a great responsibility of ensuring they are not used for evil purposes. Too many on my side want to scream about the terminology on other side issues when debating the subject. I'm not sure how many individual sales take place at gun shows, and then in parentheses, not by federal firearms licensed dealers, close parentheses, between strangers with no NICS check. But that certainly is a weakness in keeping guns from those who don't legally rate to own them. I love that Pollock guy. He is shaming the country, and we deserve it. The media loves to play this White House rant, but they cut out the part where he's saying the gun argument is separate. You should look into the Promise program started by the Obama Department of Justice and Broward County's ties to Chicago. Apparently, we have a wave of offenders who are not being held accountable for sociological reasons. Maybe some good investigative journalism will latch onto it and start a national discussion. Blah, 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 blah. Looking forward to listening to the Bronzy Ramadi segment later. Yeah, just if you didn't hear that and if you didn't hear the Bob Delvecchio piece yesterday about Vietnam and the truth about some of the instances covered in the Vietnam War documentary, I'd tell you, by all means, listen to both. Mike knows Chris Bronzy. They're great friends. There's a reason why I wanted Chris to be the first battle study that we did. He's a great guy. He's a great leader, great Marine, and he's a no-shit guy. So, anyway, Mike, your thoughts on the gun piece and whatever else you want to comment on.
Yeah, I agree with, but I just don't like, again, that we're saying that ARs are more lethal than other guns. Again, I hate that word when we categorize things saying more lethal. You know, I've seen cops shoot 30 rounds out of the AR, and I would tell you they're not lethal at all.
Right.
Because they didn't hit anything. So again, I agree with a lot of it. But the big problem is why people are saying, well, Obama tried to do this. The difference was Obama wouldn't have stopped. That's why he didn't get the same kind of backing as everybody else. He would have kept going over and more for the gun. So.
Well, I'll tell you what. I liked one of the things that the president said the other day. Hey, sometimes you disagree with the NRA. So what? Fight them. It's all right. They're good people. They're trying to do what they think is best. And he said, what are you afraid of them? You got to love that about Donald Trump when he says that in front of God and everybody, right? Hey, sometimes you disagree, fight him. But again, the thing that I love about Andrew Pollack in his quote when he says, and I'm pissed, right? I want that to sink in. For eternity, I'm never going to see my daughter again. Shot 9 times on the 3rd floor. And I play that at the start of the program every day because we, just like, four armed community resource officers for 38 schools. And we're okay with that. Somebody better say no pretty quick, okay? And somebody better figure out a way between the state and federal government that the funding issue is going to be, is going to be put to bed. Hey, there's going to be resources, right? There's going to be resources extended to school districts, and so it's going to be a partnership. It's going to be state, federal, and local, and we're going to harden schools, and we're going to have people there, and this is not going to happen again. This is not going to happen again. And if you don't do that, then some child is going to get dead because of your negligence. And you will live a long, hard life because you couldn't find the money in your budget to protect the children who, my daughter got up late this morning. I booted her in the ass, right? Told her that she needed to eat some oatmeal today. She tried it. I'm not sure if she liked it or not, right? Said goodbye to the dogs and she left. Can you imagine? Next time you see her is in the morgue? That's bullshit. Yeah.
Go back. Hey, go back to what you said. How many died? How many school shootings you say?
How many school shootings or how many died?
No, both. Did you say both?
No.
When you were talking about the dad, the saying, you know, this has got to stop.
Yeah.
How many did you say?
Oh, no, his daughter got shot 9 times.
No. Okay, his daughter did. And again, horrible.
Yeah.
I'd be probably just as mad. But Mac, you know, again, I'm looking at this. In 2015, 2,333 teens ages 16 to 19 were killed, and 221,313 were treated in emergency departments for injuries suffered in motor vehicle crashes involving teen alcohol. What are we going to do something about that?
I don't care. That's a parental.
Killing more teens than gun violence.
I don't care. I don't care about that. That's
let me go. What about smoking? How many teens die?
I don't care about that. I don't care about that. That's you. That's you raising your kid. I don't care. I don't care.
Seeing that.
But my daughter or your daughter should not get gunned down in a school because and what he said, right? He goes.
My daughter should die as a passenger because your daughter was drinking.
And she won't. She should hang out with my daughter.
Bullshit! No, you can't say that.
I just did.
No. Well, then you could say anything. You can't sit there and tell me that. No, that's not a true statement because, you know, how do you know your daughter's not using illicit drugs? Oh no, not my daughter. That's usually the first guy. That's usually the
so
first
I'm
daughter.
The, I'm the guy. I'm not the guy. All right, I'm not the guy.
No, you're not the guy. We're just talking.
And let me tell you why I'm not the guy. Because if you mix, and Mike done it the same way I have, a combination of love and discipline, just like what we got when we were kids, guess how kids turn out? It's not universal, it's not 100%, but guess what? And if you pay attention and you were, you know, an amateur criminal, so you know some of the warning signs, and you don't believe your kids are goody two shoes, right? And you go poking around every once in a while, you'll find their shit, right? And if you do that, guess what? You keep them between the left and right lateral limits, and they become responsible adults, right? But it is. It's the kid. I mean, shit, Mike, North Dakota is the binge drinking state for
all of those rural.
For high, yeah, that in rural America is binge drinking city. Okay.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot going on. Headed out to the shelter belt. We're going to have a bonfire and we're going to get drunk. Okay. And I remember interviewing an athletic director. His kid was a big time football player up in Grand Forks. And I said, and there was just some kind of incident in town. And I said, let me ask you, how do you monitor what your kids do? He said, we do two things. One is they have to kiss me or my wife every night when they come home. I said, he's like 230 pounds. He's like, yeah, he kisses his mom. I'm asleep normally. And if you smell like mouthwash or you smell like booze, I'm going to get woken up. And it's not going to be pretty. But every night.
Right.
Because she'll wait up for him. And then he said, the other thing is when they tell us they're going to spend the night someplace, we pick up the phone and we call.
Oh, sure.
But most parents don't do that.
My daughter is 21 years old, and she texts me or calls me when she's leaving the place that she knows that she's, you know, like, Dad, I'm leaving work in 5 minutes. Okay. Dad, I'm going, you know, and we do this back and forth because, you know, the difference is I'll let her know what I'm doing because I'm not saying I'm adult. I can do whatever I want. No, I'm showing mutual responsibility. Hey, Megan, I'm going to let you know where I'm at just in case something happens. You know, if I say I'm leaving in, you know, 5 minutes, I should be home in 20 minutes. If I'm not home in 25 minutes, you should do what? I'm going to call you, Dad, because you're expecting to turn it, you know, 5 minutes ago. Exactly. We go back and forth this. And, you know, and again, this is my daughter who's 21. And I told her, I said, you know, this ain't going to change. Even if you're married and you get kids, you're still going to let me know what you're doing. Like, I know, Dad.
Probably not, but it sounds good.
No, but
again, young people need that kind of structure. You know, and it's right. Bullshit when, you know, you ask people, parents like, do you do that? It's that easy. You know? And but again, if you don't...
It is that easy. That's what bugs me.
I know.
It's too easy. You can't give a shit.
Yeah, and you get this, you must be really hard on your kids and blah, blah. No, we have some simple rules, and if you want to defy them, you'll pay. But you know they're not old. They're not old. It's just like you know young guys and young girls in the military. They need structure. They don't need less. They need more. Yeah. And so that's to me what's frustrating. About this stuff.
And if you do structure early on in life, it's not overpowering. It's not you know they grow up with it and then they enjoy it. And then you'll see when structure starts going away a little bit, they add it themselves.
You know, I'll tell you.
It's a great thing.
I'll tell you an interesting story about structure. When I take my sons shooting, and it started when they were little guys, we'd get the rifles and the pistol out, or they'd stay in the truck, and then we would get out wherever we're shooting, and sometimes they're just rural places, and I would draw the firing line, and normally there'd be something like a 4x4 that I would bring. And that would be kind of the firing line. The guns, the rifles and the shotguns and the pistol would come out. They'd all get laid on the firing line. The locks would come out and then we'd make them completely safe. And every one of us had to make them completely safe. Going back to when they were little, I would help them. But all three of us did it. And as they got older and you didn't have to help them anymore, we had this beautiful routine. You talk about just the structure. Now you're handling semi-automatic weapons, shotguns, and pistols. Okay? And we would get there, the 4x4 would go down, tailgate would go down, the weapons would come out of their cases, the locks would come off, it would get made safe once, it would get made safe twice, it would get made safe three times. And then when we'd come off the firing line, somebody checks it once, somebody checks it third time, second time, somebody checks it third time, the lock goes on, it goes into its case. And that kind of structure has made it safe for us wherever we go to be safe, to enjoy shooting and all that stuff. Structure is not a bad thing. And it's the same thing whether it's alcohol or anything, that they need leadership, they need structure, and it's not a bad thing. And so here's what I think about. There should be, for instance, if I am a 19-year-old girl and I have been threatened, and I have a restraining order, I should be able to go to the police and get a waiver so that I can buy a handgun. Based on this threat to me, based on the restraining order I've gotten, and the police know, and they know that they're not going to get to me in time. And so I can buy a pistol to defend myself. I think that's absolutely legitimate in this country. You know, so, but I, again, the background checks is easy. Right? Would that have stopped Sandy Hook? No, he used his mom's weapons. Right? Right? Would that have shot?
Yeah.
Would that have stopped Columbine? No.
Probably not.
No, because they used their parents' weapons too. Right? Would that have stopped
Parkland for sure? For three more years.
Right. But again, to me, and I think the important part about the whole Broward County Sheriff's and the Parkland thing. Is the thing that those parents will have to live with is the fact that there were so many signs, any one of which, if somebody would have acted on, that shooting would not have happened the way it happened. Maybe it would have happened another way, because that kid was crazy, but there's so many opportunities, it's ridiculous.
Well, this is a prime example of complacency did not cause this. Poor leadership allowed complacency to grow in a department that let this go unnoticed.
Ugh, God.
The leadership was not there. You know, for people, you got to sometimes put away all your political ambitions and everything else and do what's right as a human fucking being. You know? That's the problem, Mac, is there's a lot of people like this Broward County Sheriff who I'm not a big fan of. Now I'm reading more and more about this guy and things have gone in, you know, and now to find out that they didn't enter the building because they were ordered to. They were ordered to stay out.
But that's
wanted to go in.
Okay, can I say, let me just make a statement. Let's just say you and I happen to be two of those three deputies and we're there, right?
And I would have told you to go screw yourself and walk in myself.
It's what we would call an unlawful order. Obviously, if you're given that command, you don't know what the fuck's going on, because if you were here watching this shit, you would say, get in there now. And
yeah,
so
you're not on the scene.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this matter in my hand, and if you don't like it at the end, fire me. But you know what? I'm not going to be able to I couldn't live with myself if I didn't do anything.
Right. Now, here's what the conversation is going to be from their command center. Hey, Larry, where are Mike and Mike? Where are Mike and Mac? They're inside. What? I said to say, yeah, they said they weren't having it. They're inside. And
well, they told you to go F yourself, sir, but I just
going to
tell you that.
But again, that's coming from a command center, and he didn't know what the hell is going on. So the guys on the ground are expected, right, to be able to hear that command.
To make decisions.
And make a decision, and they should have gone in anyway. So, anyway. All right, what do you got going on today? You got in your truck. Where are you going?
Oh, I'm going to our exclusive petroleum club.
Are you going to eat healthy? Are you going to PT? Give us an update. Give us an update on your health. You sound better.
I sound great. I feel great. I still got a pulled muscle on my side, but it's slowly going away. As long as I keep remembering, I got a pulled muscle in my abdomen wall. Because every once in a while, I got to go do something, or I pick something up, and I'm like, oh shit. What is that? Oh, yeah, I forgot.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It's, like I said, if you've never had a hernia, it's like having a hernia, but I think it's worse because it's on the side and it has more effect. You know, you can't, it hurts more and it kind of renders me more, useless, which I was, pretty good at. I was more useless than I used to be.
All right, tell all the boys we said hey, have a good lunch.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
There you have it, the one and only Gunner. Nice to hear that he's feeling better. Yeah, the more you hear that comes out of the Broward County Sheriff, the less impressed you are with that whole event. And I mean, I think it. I don't know. By for him to resign, don't even wait. You know, fire him yesterday. Right? You can't have that much of your department screwed up and you not be responsible for that.
You're out.
That'll do it. On a Thursday. Yeah. My thanks to Mike Wilson for coming back on from the Yellow Ribbon Fund. As Gunner said, if you're looking for organizations to donate to, just be careful. Check how much of your money actually goes to programs. Do that. Okay? And then, I want to say Semper Fi's administrative overhead. And, and then donate accordingly. But, check that out. Semper Fi Fund, I want to say, is below 5%. Yeah. And I know the Yellow Ribbon Fund is down there as well. And they're still doing great work. And the whole issue of caregiver support, predominantly women who, because of combat injuries, amputations, traumatic brain injury, and whatnot, become lifelong caregivers. Funding their support is pretty important. So, anyway, on a Thursday, have a great day. This program repeat itself momentarily. We'll check the news headlines. And then after we do that, you'll go ahead and hear Mike Wilson from the Yellow Ribbon Fund. And then the Gunner in rare form today. So, yeah, congratulations. You have that to look forward to. Tomorrow we'll lighten the load a little bit. The All Marine Radio head chef will join us for a little bit, and we'll see what else is going on. Grant Newsham might make an appearance. I'm not sure yet, so you never know. All right, on a Thursday, All Marine Radio, out.